Catastrophe. A short story collection. An introduction. The end of the world is nigh. Has been seen, heard and quoted ad infinitum all of our lives. In the comfort zone of our own arrogance and the resources that we humans have at our disposal, it seems we are both inviolable and invincible. All is safe, we are in control. But nature has a way of sending earthquakes, eruptions, fires and floods and much else besides, at the most inopportune times and, in these more modern days, with increasing frequency and extremes. In this volume, our classic authors conjure up all sorts of damnations and destructions in literary assaults, testing our will to survive and our ingenuity to overcome situations where the outlook is bleak at best and the total extinction of us at worst.
The Unparalleled Invasion by Jack London. An excerpt from Walt Nervin's Certain Essays in History. It was in the year 1976 that the trouble between the world and China reached its culmination. It was because of this that the celebration of the bicentennial of American liberty was deferred. Many other plans of the nations of the earth were, for the same reason, twisted, entangled, and postponed. The world awoke rather abruptly to its danger. But for over 70 years, unperceived affairs had been shaping toward this very end. The year 1904 logically marks the beginning of the development that, 70 years later, was to bring consternation to the whole world. The Japanese-Russian War took place in 1904, and the historians of the time gravely noted down that that event marked the entrance of Japan into the comedy of nations. What it really did mark was the awakening of China. This awakening, long expected, had finally been despaired of. The Western nations had tried to arouse China, and they had failed. Out of their native optimism and race egotism, they had therefore concluded that the task was impossible, that China would never awaken. What they failed to take into account was this, that between them and China was no common psychological speech. Their thought processes were radically dissimilar. The Western mind penetrated the Chinese mind but a short distance when it found itself in a fathomless maze. The Chinese mind penetrated the Western mind an equally short distance when it fetched up against a blank, incomprehensible wall. It was all a matter of language. There was no way to communicate Western ideas to the Chinese mind. China remained asleep. The material achievement and progress of the West was a closed book to her. Back and deep down in the tie ribs of consciousness, in the mind of the English-speaking race, was a capacity to thrill to short Saxon words. Back and deep down on the tie ribs of consciousness of the Chinese mind was a capacity to thrill to its own hieroglyphics. The Chinese mind could not thrill to short Saxon words, nor could the English-speaking mind thrill to hieroglyphics. The fabrics of their minds were woven from totally different stuffs. They were mental aliens. And so it was that Western material achievement and progress made no dent on the rounded sleep of China. Came Japan and her victory over Russia in 1904. Now, the Japanese race was the freak and paradox among Eastern peoples. In some strange way, Japan was receptive to all that the West had to offer. Japan swiftly assimilated Western ideas and digested them, and so capably applied them that she suddenly burst forth, full panoplied, a world power. There is no explaining this peculiar openness of Japan to the alien culture of the West. As well might be explained any biological sport in the animal kingdom. Having decisively thrashed the great Russian Empire, Japan promptly set about dreaming a colossal dream of empire for herself. Korea she made into a granary and a colony. Treaty privileges and vulpine diplomacy
Sample complete. Ready to continue?